Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for the Stepping Into My Power Blog Talk Radio Show with Dr. Imani Ma'at. This show is dedicated to bringing important health and wellness information, products, and services to communities in the U.S. and globally. Dr. Ma'at is a health...
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair, but they don't have so very long. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our mind. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. This is Dr. Imani Ma'at, and you are tuned in for another segment of the Stepping Into My Power Blog Talk Radio Show. We have a very interesting show coming up this evening, and I would say that, but this is going to be kind of unique because I have a guest host who is going to be interviewing me for the show. That's a real different kind of twist. But I was so blessed and so fortunate to meet Ms. Martha Dowdell this week. She is just an incredible, incredible person who has done a lot in terms of health and wellness, and it was just such a good fit. And I was introduced to her by a friend of mine, Zachary Simpson, here in Atlanta. Really, really grateful to Zachary for connecting the two of us. Ms. Martha Dowdell is a health and nutrition enthusiast with more than 40 years' experience in research, experimentation, and lifestyle strategy techniques that lead to achieving optimal health. Her passions are etiquette training, health and nutrition, education, and motivation so that people will be inspired to make healthy lifestyle choices. Ms. Dowdell stays current on cutting-edge developments in the health industry by subscribing to various magazines, publications, and continued research. She firmly believes that there is a definite link between lifestyle choices and longevity. So do I. That's why we're kindred spirits. Ms. Dowdell has hosted a radio show, a talk show focused on health and nutrition. She's conducted seminars, workshops, lectures, and provided personal consultations to individuals as well as consultations for members of a popular health club. So, again, I'm so excited to welcome Martha Dowdell to co-host the show with me, to really host the show. So let me open up the line. Good evening, Martha. Are you there?
Hello, Dr. Imani. It is such a pleasure to be on the air with you this evening. It was a very unique blessing for me to run into a person such as yourself. We share a lot of interest in the health and wellness field. And I'm just excited about what I'm going to learn during tonight's conversation. I understand that you worked for the CDC for a number of years, 23 years. You
22.
Are 22 years. You're a health and wellness keynote speaker, wellness coach for teens and adults. You're an author. You're a radio show host. And your recent book, I'm so excited to learn more about, Healthy Haku, Healthy Haku 3. And this is your third book in the series, is that right?
It is. It is. This has been a labor of love for, I guess, since about 2008 was when the first book was published. And it's really a training manual for professionals who want to use the Healthy Haku method. So poetry book since then.
Mm-hmm. And this series is called How to Fight Childhood Obesity, One Poem at a Time. How interesting.
Like I said, it's been a labor of love, and I should probably back up just to make sure that we do have some regular people who listen in, but for those who might be new, I want to make sure that they know haiku is an ancient form of Japanese poetry from the 17th century that basically uses 17 syllables on three lines, using five syllables, seven syllables, and five syllables, to tell a really big story with just a few words. And the ancients, when they created haiku, they would always have kind of some hint of what the season is. You'd have snowflakes coming down, so you know that it's the fall season, or you'd have flowers blooming, and you know it's the springtime. But I kind of took a poetic license, if you will, to not focus on the words or the pieces that would describe the season, because I said, you know, we need to just get to the heart of it in terms of using this for health and wellness. So I've been writing poetry most of my life in addition to working in public health and being a health educator. And for me, this was an opportunity to kind of blend those two worlds that I lived in. And that's haiku. Like I said, I started writing healthy haiku about in 2008, and I actually started doing workshops with children back in around, you know, between 2006, 2008, and I actually had this series evaluated through a fellowship that was sponsored by Morehouse School of Medicine, Tuskegee, and the University of Alabama. And I actually won awards chosen by my peers because of the effectiveness of this strategy. I had a whole evaluation program that I did to look at the effectiveness of the workshops with young people. And it was really amazing, and it was really nice to be selected by my peers, because a lot of them were real, you know, the biostatisticians, the quantitative, you know, scientists, the physicists, and so forth. And so for them to select what I was doing, you know, for an award in terms of its effectiveness in the community really meant a lot to me. And so
how awesome.
Thank you.
No, I don't think I've ever seen these two genres combined, as far as combining poetry with health and wellness. I do know that children tend to learn and gravitate toward things like poetry, music, you know, the spoken word.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see how that would be extremely effective. I've just never seen it done that way.
Well, I took that risk of sort of jumping out there. The training manual, the first book is Promoting Healthy Knowledge, Attitudes, and Behaviors Among Youth Using Haiku and Creative Expression. The first chapter, it actually covers like 7 or 8 different health issues, and the first chapter is dedicated to using creativity. And so when I do workshops, I will go in with djembe drums and shaker rays and bells and whatever, just to kind of inspire the creative juices and get those juices flowing among the young people, so that would be kind of a natural spillover to them doing poetry and reciting to each other and just really being creative. I've worked with youth who didn't want to write poetry, but they wanted to draw it out. You know, to draw out their experiences in terms of health and wellness or whatever, you know, whatever health topic we were speaking about. So creativity and music is actually a big part of what I do with the younger children. Some of the older children, I use different strategies depending on the age. But regardless of age, they all like role play and acting it out. You know, I should say that before creating the Healthy Haiku series, I had, with a good friend of mine, co-founded a teen theater program where our goal was to teach young people about health and wellness using theater and drama. So Healthy Haiku is actually my second big project that, you know, that where we get information out to youth. But I love the theater program. We're looking at ways of restarting that, because we had a big play on diabetes that was just amazing. I still get calls to this day asking about the play and when we're going to perform it again. I've always been very creative and artistic, and for me it was a natural fit to bring the arts into educating about health and wellness and in inspiring people to. In my workshops, I don't go in as an expert. I go in to facilitate a discussion and to get the creative juices flowing. So we start with what the group already knows. You know, we do some brainstorming. We end up with a board filled with words about what to eat and what not to eat and all of that. And so they take their creations and start turning it into poetry and prose and spoken word. I've worked with older teenagers, and they want to do hip-hop and spoken word and all of that. So I step back and let the magic sort of happen with them. So it's been a lot of fun. And I've also done, I created a whole women's wellness program where I did Healthy Haiku workshops for a women's organization, the Center for Black Women's Wellness here in Atlanta. And I found
I'm familiar
women,
with that organization.
Are you? Okay. Well, I found that the women enjoyed the workshop just as much as the children. And I was excited about that, because it dawned on me from when we were doing the teen theater program that if you're not engaging the parents, especially the mothers, because the mothers are going food shopping, you know, they're kind of the primary nurturers, and they set the standard for the diet for the family. So I found that, you know, we could teach all of this to the young people, but if they were going home and, you know, there were still the sodas and the sweets and all of the, you know, the junk food and the starches as opposed to the greens and the vegetables and the fruits and the legumes and so forth, then we were sort of fighting an uphill battle. So it was real exciting to me to work with the women at the Center for Black Women's Wellness, because I said, you know, I really need to do this with adults. So I've been working with adults and holding women's wellness retreats. Just held one 2 weekends ago, and it was phenomenal. You know, so I love working with women with using this strategy. I think as much as I love working with the children, because I know that for both of them, I'm going to get a lot out of the time spent, you know, with both groups.
That is most unique, and I would love to be a part of one of those workshops and include my grandchildren as well. You know, they've been hearing from me since the time of, you know, they were old enough to listen, but this sounds like something that would be so much fun, inspire their creativity and give them a chance to share, you know, and not be lectured to or preached to. I could really understand how that would be very effective.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think I've ever worked with a group where of children when, you know, we do the Healthy Haiku workshop. I have fit this into like a 45-minute class period for elementary school children, and they're like clinging to me as I'm walking out. Are you coming back? When can we do this again? This is so good, you know. So, you know, that's always kind of
certainly a very good sign.
Oh, yeah. And I've worked with older teens. One of my best workshops was at a juvenile justice center in Fulton County here in Atlanta. And I was so concerned that this group, you know, because they had to be there. They were remanded to go there for whatever, you know, whatever reason, being truant from school or whatever. So I went with the concern that, you know, this is going to be a tough group. And when I tell you, one of the quote-unquote toughest young men who came in a little bit late, he was kind of outside of our circle, and I motioned to him to come in and join us. And, you know, he kind of sauntered over like, you know, I really don't want to be here. And I'm like, okay, he's just not going to do this. You know, so I'm not going to put too much energy into him. But most groups, I go in and there's a set, the client will say, well, we want you to talk about smoking. You know, so I've done a whole 2 weeks on smoking and, you know, why smoking is bad and so forth. And with this group of teens, I was given carte blanche to whatever you can talk about, just talk about something with them. So I let them choose the issues. And, you know, before I knew it, they were talking about crime in the neighborhood. They were talking about violence. They were talking about smoking, drinking, drug use, and going into a lot of detail. I had to remind them about confidentiality because, you know, Uncle Joe, you know, he's been a crack addict from way back when, and it's something I've been dealing with my family. You know, I mean, they were given names, and, you know, and I'm like, just short of addresses. But as this young man joined the conversation, I could see him light up because it's like for the first time somebody was talking about stuff that was on his heart. You know, so he started talking about how, you know, his uncle had been, you know, had shot somebody, one of his favorite uncles, and he was in jail like forever. He's in prison. You know, a younger cousin, you know, was strung out on drugs and it was really affecting him. So he started talking and he emerged as one of the leaders as we broke up into work groups. He was like, he became the spokesperson for his group. And, you know, when he left, he came up to me and said, this was just amazing. When are you coming back? We need more stuff like this. So it just really touched my heart and made me feel like I'm on the right track. You know, this is something
that could be, I guess, life-changing to a young person that,
yes,
you know, finds his voice and is able to open up like that.
Exactly. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I told you I can talk.
But please do continue.
Yeah, well, finding voice is a real big part of what we try to do through the workshops, through the theater program. There's a young man who, I'll just give his first name, Stephen. He's been all through the newspapers, magazines, a national figure. He was a genius before he came to our theater program. Really, I mean, he was, I think, 11 years old, and most of the teenagers were 13, 14, 15, a little older than. He would come in and start playing the piano, like classical music, and just, you know, kind of his head down, and he would always tell me, oh, yeah, I don't really want a spoken part. I'll just be in a crowd scene or something. I don't want to say anything. But he ended up going to Morehouse when he was, I think, 14. He was really, really young. And I haven't spoken with him and his family, but I've heard, I've seen it in writing that he credits our teen theater program for helping him to find his voice speaking up.
Wow.
Because he did end up having some speaking roles, you know, after kind of being in the background for a while. And that just really touched my heart because, you know, you just don't know how you're impacting young people. And there's so much criticism of what young people are doing and not doing, but it's so rewarding to actually make the effort and go out there and do something, you know, do something that's unique and will make them feel valued, you know. So that's kind of where. Where we are with that, this latest book, and I promised to read a little bit of the poetry from it. The book is great because it has not just poetry, but it's based on, because I'm a scientist, it has the scientific facts about obesity. It has the things that are, that obesity becomes a precursor for diabetes and high blood pressure and social isolation when it comes to young people, and a number of things that, you know, we see with adults, but with children it's like 100 times more magnified, you know, in terms of the impact on them and their lives, and what the impact is amazing. We're seeing really young children who type 2 diabetes used to be called adult onset diabetes. You know, children didn't get it. And now we're seeing children, you know, 7, 8, 9 getting type 2 diabetes because they've literally burned out their pancreas. It just can't process the glucose anymore. So, you know, there's some major, major issues. And so I talk about that in the book and give the statistics and give the references so that if people need more information, they know where to go to get more information. And that part took the longest in terms of doing the research, but I like that because that part resonates with me. I didn't feel like I would be doing justice to just put out a poetry book because I've done that before, and that's fun, but people need to understand why. They need to understand the importance of alkalizing the body. You know, on a scale of 0 to 14, our body's fluids need to be roughly a pH of 7, or 7.365, the number of days in the year. And, you know, people don't know much about alkalizing, so they're eating a lot of things that are very acidic. They're drinking beverages that are very acidic. And being overly acidic is a precursor to a lot of diseases and illnesses. So just balancing the pH with alkaline water, with greens and so forth can make a world of difference in people's lives. And so, you know, you're supposed to give the disclaimer that I'm not trying to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent anybody's illnesses, but this is important information. This is very, very important information. And, you know, we tell people if you're going to start a different health regimen, check with your doctor or naturopathic physician or, you know, whoever you have that's licensed to do health and wellness work with you. But we also encourage people to take back control of their health, to do the reading. We Google everything else. So we Google everything we want to know about. And
everything.
When you start talking about something that's about you and your health and your life, oh, I don't know anything about that. Why not? Google it.
How about
it's
that?
All there.
Yeah.
I know that's a product of our conditioning, because when we talk about things like, you know, as adults, what kind of car we drive, what kind of gasoline do we need in it, what kind of oil do we use, we get the exact oil that we need, and we do everything that we can, and it doesn't matter about money, and, you know, we have to protect our investment in our vehicles and things. But then when it comes to our own bodies, you know, what a difference in attitude that is.
Right.
And,
Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so we have to really change our way of thinking and recondition ourselves.
Absolutely. You know, we become programmed by what we see in commercials, what they say. I always ask people, well, who are they? You know, I had to always ask the children in our theater group, they say we should drink milk 3 times a day. I'm like, who are they? Do they love you? Do they care about you? You know,
right. Or do they care about their bottom line?
Thank you, which is making money. You know, so we've had to go through this mysterious day and the control that these commercials and advertisements and, you know, all of that has on people. You know, you're sitting there watching TV, the commercials get louder so that you will go and get something unhealthy to eat in the kitchen while you're watching TV.
Exactly, yes.
So, yeah, we
well, this is really life-changing information that you're giving. I know that you have seen a lot during your career and your practice. You've talked about the type 2 diabetes in children, and I know that we're seeing a lot more of that as the years, you know, go by. What are some of the other health issues that you're seeing in children and teens who's dealing with being overweight and obese?
There are a lot of things, and a lot of them pretty much mimic what we're seeing with adults, you know. So we're seeing compromised immune systems, you know, and so our immune systems protect us from disease, infection, bacteria, and, you know, a chronic state of low-grade inflammation exists in people who are obese, okay, and the inflammation is a direct result of being obese and having a compromised immune system. You know, there are a lot of things that people don't know, but they're hurting. You know, they're in pain. Their joints hurt. Their feet hurt. And so you're seeing children that are saying the same things that adults are seeing. You know, we're seeing hypertension, high blood pressure with children, which was absolutely unheard of when we were children.
Absolutely.
We were out playing and running, you know, till the lights went down. And you drive through some of these, you know, middle class, you know, really nice suburbs, and they look like ghost town. There are
you
no
don't
children
see any children out
outside.
Riding bikes
no.
or playing. Or we used
no.
to mark on the sidewalk with chalk and do hopscotch, and we were constantly
moving.
We had PE in elementary school, and we couldn't wait to get home to, you know, get with the peers and the friends, and it would be constant until nightfall. And, you know, our parents would have to make us come inside.
Right, exactly.
We were
constantly moving. Constantly. And, you know, the word aerobic means to move. That is all it
means.
It's not magic. So if you sit at a desk all day, you should get up and, you know, do some jumping jacks. Get a rebounded little individual trampoline, which is one of the best exercise machines you can have. It just jump, you know, just stop and jump for 10 minutes. It's amazing what that does in terms of cleaning the lymph nodes and, you know, just stimulating you know, all the cells in your body and getting you going. But a lot of us just sit around, and the children, they sit there, they play the games, you know, the different games. They're on the computers, they're on their phones, you know, and that's another whole lecture in terms of what the EMF rays do to us that are so unhealthy. You know, when I see children putting phones, you see parents handing toddlers telephones, cell phones, and they're holding them up to their ear. I'm like, please don't let that baby put that phone up to their ear. It is so deadly, and people just do not know what they're doing. So, you know, there's a lot. There's a lot that we have to share. I took this live and raw food preparation class at the Living Foods Institute here in Atlanta. Really, really good class. And one of the things that we learned, and have learned so much, but one was just the importance of greens, that we would start every day with wheatgrass juice. And I saw something in writing. It said 2 ounces of wheatgrass are equivalent to eating like 4 pounds of green vegetables. You know,
that's
so
huge.
People, it's huge. And I'll tell you something else, Martha. My hair has been turning silver for 7 years now. You know, and I dieted for a while and just didn't like that because it just seemed so unnatural. So I just let it go. And, you know, I always get compliments on my silver hair. Well, what I was doing, the wheatgrass juice and the vegetables and sprouting my own mung beans and lentils and making my own energy soup in the morning, it was probably like the 10-day class. It was probably like the 5th or 6th day. I looked in the mirror and I see all this black hair. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that greening can turn your hair back black? I said, I bet a whole lot of people don't know that. And we're just,
you know what?
So
that,
excited.
That is so amazing because this is part of my research that I found out that graying is not a sign of aging. It's a sign of improper diet.
And mineral deficiencies. So it's like all of a sudden I'm getting all the minerals that my body needs.
Voila.
Wow. It starts doing the right thing again. I was like, wow. I would have never, ever believed that. I would have never believed that. So, you know, there's so much to share and to know. Just, you know, if people would just eat more greens, eat less sweets. Sweets and wheats are just kind of doing the body in. And I won't even get on my soapbox about meat. Eat less meat.
Eat less meat.
You know, and more greens, you know, veggies, fruits, yeah, but sometimes we overdo. I realized from the class that I was, in terms of my veggie fruit balance, I was eating more fruits than greens.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was almost like a detoxing for me. It really was, because I realized I was, you know, doing the red apples, the bananas, the grapes, the pineapple, the mangoes, more than I was doing greens. So I flipped that equation. In those 10 days, my body felt totally different and looked totally different. So, you know, I'm so excited. I'm beginning to work with people one-on-one, you know, just doing the coaching. Because there are things you can do in group, and then there are things that are just easier or better because everyone's different, and you really have to tailor your approach and your process depending on what people need. But I'm just having fun with this and trying to practice it more. You know, if you're going to assist other people in moving towards their health continuum and getting to the next level, then you really do have to live it. So that's exciting. Not that I wasn't, but I felt that this course kind of took me to the next level of being serious.
Phenomenal.
So
with that awesome information that you're sharing, you're teaching, you're changing lives, it is just it's got to be so fulfilling and such a blessing to be in an arena where, you know, you have open doors to come in and share this kind of information. Truly, truly life-changing.
Absolutely. And I'm getting invited for, I have a two more. I have a radio interview tomorrow. I have a television interview on Friday. And, you know, things are really starting to look up. And I'm excited about sharing the information and getting out there. And I don't have the big head, will never have the big head. So if anything, I've been erring on the side of being too quiet about my work and what I'm doing. So this book is sort of pushing me out there to share it. One of the things that I'm doing this week is I'm calling it my Kindle Book Blitz, which means that instead of selling the Kindle version, which is the ebook, instead of selling it for $9.99, it's just $1.99 this week.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
That is, yeah, exactly. It's like, why wouldn't you do that?
Who wouldn't be able to? You're making it so available.
Exactly. I want this information to get out. I want schools and churches and mosques and synagogues and mentoring programs. We've got a lot of wonderful mentoring programs, not just here in Atlanta, but around the country. Let me give folks a URL where they can go right to that Kindle book and buy it and share it with folks and let people know about it. It's tinyurl.com/HH3-Amazon. It's tinyurl.com/HH3-Amazon. And so, you know, they can also get, and that $1.99 is like, you know, 87% off of the paperback, which is $14.99. I've even brought that price down because I want people to have this information. I don't want price to be a hindrance for people to really get this information and to be able to share it. It's really a resource. You know, it's not a novel. It's a book that has a lot of good information, and it does have the poetry. You know, it has some poetry.
Yes. So, I was hoping you could share some of the poetry.
Sure. I thought you'd never ask. Let's see. I have so many that I really like. In the book, in the main poetry section, one of the things I do is I you have the three lines of poetry, and then you have kind of like the moral to the story. So here's one of the ones, the first ones. It says, "Eat right, get it straight, or it just might be too late. Our time will not wait." And the moral is, start a plan for eating right to avoid future problems. And
wonderful.
Yeah. So I guess that they're simple, but, you know, they make you think. Here's one that was actually in our play, in the diabetes play, and it says, "Turn off those TVs. Go out and play. Run, jump, dance. Give life a real chance." And the moral is, get out and have fun while moving your body, doing that aerobic work, you know, get out and move. So as I talked about the greening and the importance of greens, this one says, "More protein in greens than red meat," "More protein in greens than red meats, which are quite lean. This, what do you mean?" So I put it as a question mark, and the moral is, it's true. Don't believe the lie that there's more protein in meat than veggies. People don't know that. A lot of people say, if you're a vegetarian, where do you get your protein?
That's what people always say. Where do you get your protein? But where did the animal get its protein?
Exactly.
That's a question to consider.
Where did the cows get their protein?
Yes. Where did they get theirs from?
Exactly.
So we're actually getting their protein from the greens, and we're getting it secondhand. Right.
We're getting it secondhand. Yeah. So it's not as good. So in the book, I also have a section called Rhyming Haiku for Younger Children. Although those pieces that I just read, I love to make them rhyme, even though you don't have to with haiku. There was one that myself and my granddaughter Angela wrote, and it says, "I like to eat pears with my big brown teddy bear in my small blue chair." And that's just a picture. You can see it, this child sitting there eating a pear in this blue rocking chair, going back and forth with the teddy bear in their lap. You know, and she has
children so relate to that.
You know, once they get that, I mean, they learn that automatically. They don't have to study that. You know, you tell, they read that a couple of times and they know it, you know. And
they
so they're looking
it.
At how do I get pears and, what you know, how do I get the greens and, you know, how do I get out and play and have fun and dance.
Exactly. So one of the things the haiku does is that it paints a picture that stays on your mind. And so once you hear it, you know, and again, when I do this with the children, they create the poetry based on the brainstorming that we've done, and they take ownership in it, and they're so proud of what they create. In the second, there is, it's just called Healthy Haiku Poetry. There's some poetry written by students that, with groups that I worked in around the country, and also in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. There's a lot of poetry from the youth. We did like a whole weekend there, and it was phenomenal. These were teenagers there. A lot of the ones that I worked with that were in the book from here were like elementary school students. But, again, it's nice to have their contributions because once they get to the point of writing it, you know that they really understand and they got it.
Oh,
they get it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's amazing. That's amazing. And I can see that kind of creativity and, you know, that kind of input from them. And, you know, you're learning from them and they are learning so much from you that will take them throughout a lifetime. I don't think they'll ever forget. Once they get it, you know, I don't think that they'll ever forget. It'll always be a part of their life.
Right. That's right, and I call it planting seeds. You know, being at CDC, I was the director of a huge health disparities program, you know, did Reach 2010, you know, helping to eliminate health disparities among racial and ethnic minorities. You know, I don't use the term minorities anymore. But in that program, we worked with communities around the country to come up with creative approaches to things like diabetes and heart disease and cancer and childhood health and wellness issues, you know, a number of things. And so, and even though, I mean, we put in millions of dollars into these communities and they came up with some incredible, incredible approaches. They won awards for, you know, making differences, you know, with the communities they were working with. But in the overall scheme of things, you know, when you look at the national statistics, the numbers were continuing to go up. You know, just going, you know, the worst, we've got the worst, you know, levels of, you know, in all the communities of color, not just African Americans, Hispanics, Native Americans, some of the Asian communities. You see, you know, higher rates of diabetes and obesity and heart disease and, you know, everything that I've mentioned. So, for me, the whole thing of planting seeds, I said, you know, we'll get more bang for our buck if we work with younger children because we're planting seeds now and they have a lifetime to incorporate this information into their lives. And so it's different to working with the 40, 50, 60-year-olds who I'm a behavioral scientist and I know how hard it is to affect change and to make that change last. You know, the old relapse thing is horrible with adults. But with children, they really get it. And so, they get it, they understand, and they want to do it. They want to do it. I'll never forget there was a young girl, we were doing a little demonstration about alkaline water and some of the beverages, and, you know, there was some soda, clear-colored soda, I won't call any names, but we showed how acidic that soda was. And so there was a child there, you know, in elementary school, maybe second grader or so, and the mother says, okay, now, you can't drink that soda anymore. And the child looked at the mother and said, but you're the one that buys the soda. You know? It was like, wow. She's like, I wouldn't drink it if you didn't buy it and have it in the house. So,
how profound.
So, yeah, like I said, it takes a village for us to all think about what we're eating and what we're doing in terms of exercise. That's why I say this book is a focus on childhood obesity, but it's really for families for churches, for youth programs, because it's for all of us. The information in there is so powerful, and it's really for all of us. So what I'd like to do, I've got a board with all these lights lit up, and I would like to, unless you wanted to, because you're the one who's hosting tonight.
Well, you know what? I do want to get to that board because we don't have but a little while left. But I wanted to know also about some of the other services that you provide. I know that you're available for bookings, and I just want you to get some information out there as far as, you know, what other services you provide and, you know, how someone would be able to book you to come in and provide some of those programs.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. There's my website, and I have a number of websites, but here's one where they can go to imanimaat.com. That's imanimaat.com. And that has information on how to book. I do a free 30-minute consultation, and that can be used for individual work or for group work or for even corporations. You know, I've been doing some work with corporations and some of the prison systems too. So if people want to have a dialogue with me about how they can engage my services, they can go to that site. They can book. They can go to, I love the tiny URL because it takes these long URLs and makes them real short. So tinyurl.com/ my last name, MAAT-free, FREE. So that's the free, you know, consultation.
I see.
That's kind of to get my attention. So tinyurl.com/maat-free. And, you know, so I mentioned the women's wellness retreats that I love, love, love doing. We do this last one. We were actually preparing live and raw food for us to eat, all hands on, and it was so much. People could not get enough of that food. They would not stop. And people think that, you know, if you're eating live and raw food, you're just eating salad, and it has no taste, you know, and nothing you do.
Bland.
We had gourmet food. We had two different types of dessert. We had a pudding that was banana and coconut and dates. Just kind of mixed together, and it was so delicious. We had some dehydrated cookies that were an oat groat based or like oatmeal based cookies, and we had we didn't do the lasagna, but we made a natural tomato dressing that was so good. And we made mung bean pasta, which is live and
oh
pasta.
My goodness.
So
you are talking my language.
Yeah, good. Well, we have to get together and have a cook in, but a food prep in, so that we can get together and make some delicious meals. So, you know, the wellness retreats, we do that, and we also have lots of exercise machines and inversion tables and full body vibration machines and rebounders and things. So people were like bouncing around on the machines and doing the food and telling their stories about health and wellness. So I love doing the women's wellness retreats,
awesome.
The individual coaching, and again, the workshops where I go into schools and churches and organizations and homes. People can gather the children in the community, and I can do a workshop in somebody's living room, you know. So again, they can do that. They can also contact me at 404-702-4382. A lot of people like it the old-fashioned way. Just call me up, 404-702-4382. And let me get to the boards because I know people may have some questions. Let's see. We've got an Atlanta number that's been holding a long time that, that number ends in, it's a 404 number, it ends in 3876. Good evening. How are you? Would you like to join our conversation or ask a question? 3876, if you're muted, you can unmute yourself. We also have a 404 and it ends in 9573, also here in Atlanta.
And, you know, a lot of times people are muted and they don't know that they're muted. And I see my parents, you post on their cell phones. I don't know. I'm going to open up both of their lines to see if either of them would like to say hello, good evening. Hello.
Hello.
Mom, Dad.
Hi,
hey. Hi, Dad. How you doing?
Oh, fine. Just enjoying the conversation.
You enjoying the conversation? Wonderful.
Yes.
This is Mr. Robert Thompson and this is Carmen Thompson. Hi, Mom.
Hi. Hello. Wonderful.
Hi, are you enjoying this?
Enjoying it very much.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you for listening. They are my most loyal listeners.
Awesome. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's such. It's calling all the way from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Awesome.
Right.
I love Virginia Beach.
Yeah, it's really nice. Wait a second. Say that again, Dad.
About 20 degrees, but it's really not quite that cold. But it's close to 30.
Oh, okay. Kind of cold. It's a little chilly here, too. The temperature has dropped, but it's warm and cozy inside, so I'm glad to be inside and not out in the elements. But I'm glad you all were listening in. I had
very interesting conversation, and I'm sure that everyone will learn a lot from what you're talking about. Have
yes, and you know, I was invited to come to a youth writers program by Linda Goss, wonderful, wonderful sister who's in the Virginia area, and she invited me to come up there. I forget the month. I think it's June. So I'm sure I'll be there before then. But in June, I'll be up there as part of the writers conference. I'll be speaking with the youth and sharing my book. So very excited about that opportunity. Yeah.
Wonderful. Happy to have you here. I'm sure everyone will enjoy your books.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you. Thanks so much for listening. Love you all.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good evening.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye-bye. So
awesome.
I can try the – we had those Atlanta numbers. I think those lines are still open. There's one that ends in 3876 and another 9573.
Hello.
Hey, who is that?
Zachary Simpson from Atlanta.
Zachary Simpson, the man who's been here for National Day.
No.
Hey, Zachary. How are you? It's good to hear your voice. I was trying to reach you earlier. I'm so glad that you listened in. How did you like the show?
I'm listening, and I'm learning some things.
Zachary.
As you know, that I'm wanting to change my eating habits.
Zachary, you
and so I'm listening. You know, I think any information I get is good.
This is good.
Change
Martha,
my mind,
I am so excited about meeting you. I hear we're going to be doing this again on Friday, right, as a video interview.
Yes, we are going to do a video interview. We want to talk to you again about,
Martha?
You know.
Yes. Let's see what's going on. Hello, hello.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that video interview as well. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear
Martha?
Hello. May have to call back in again. I'm not sure what happened to my co-host, my host this evening, but she is just phenomenal. She's done a lot of work in health and wellness, and Zachary, who was just speaking with us, he's the one that connected us, and we're going to be doing a video show of this same, it's never exactly the same, but we're going to be working together on Friday to bring this information again. So once I get the link for that show, I'll make sure that I share it with this audience. If there's anyone listening on their computers and you'd like to call in, you can call 646 9853, and press 1 to be in the host queue. I think we
did
have
you get
Martha
me back?
Again. Martha?
Yes. Okay. I called back in.
Oh, I'm not sure what happened. That's
no.
disappointing. But
how about now? Can you hear me?
That's okay. She's done a marvelous, wonderful, wonderful job. And just, you know, very excited to have her with
Dr.
us this evening.
Dr. May, can
so,
you hear me? This is Zachary.
With that, I think we are going to probably conclude just a few minutes early. It's been a very full show. If anyone wants to call in and be part of the conversation, just let me know. I'll be happy to keep the lines open for a few minutes and take your questions or your comments, talk about what's eating you, our food, what you're eating. I'm happy to share the floor with you. So, again, I'm not quite sure what happened to Martha, but thank you, Martha, for doing an incredible, incredible job this evening. Look forward to working with you on Friday. And for folks who are listening in, please, please, please buy that well-discounted version of the Kindle version of the book, Healthy Haiku 3, How to Fight Childhood Obesity, One Poem at a Time. And again, you can find that on Amazon at tinyurl.com/HH3-Amazon. tinyurl.com/HH3-Amazon. So with that, and you can also go to my website, imanimaat.com, and look at some of the offerings there. And I'm so glad that you chose to spend this time with us this evening. We have a lot of people that listen to the archived file after the fact. So if you're listening after the fact, thank you for taking the time to listen in and share this segment with other people that you know, family members, friends, and I would just be very, very grateful that you're sharing the information. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to close with, I think I have it in this version of the book. Let's see, one of my favorite poems, one of my favorite non-haiku poems. It's called When Spirits Touch. When spirits touch, there's a spark that ignites the soul out of control. When spirits touch, there's a warmth and a glow and an inside smile. Cartwheels of the heart, jumpstart of adrenaline. When spirits touch, no words of validation are needed to speak what the heart has long since connected as real, whether for a moment or for a lifetime. It inevitably lasts for a lifetime, because when spirits touch, there's no taking it back. And with that, I'm going to say good evening. Thanks for joining. And tune in again to the to our Stepping Into My Power blog talk radio. Have a wonderful evening, everyone. Good night.